From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad you're on board today. Thanks so much, as always, for hanging out with us. We certainly appreciate it. Don't forget, coming up tonight, Bud Light brings you the Bill Michaels Huddle. Going to be out at Libby, Montana's tonight on Donjus Bay Road. We're going to be talking football. Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio Network is going to be on site with us. John Dodd as well. Should be a good time tonight, 6 to 8, coming up on many of these local network stations, so make sure you tune in this evening. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle, brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Packers getting ready to take on the Seattle Seahawks. Out in Seattle, a tough place to play to begin with, and then you got to go on the road to a Thursday night game, so the odds are already stacked against you. To talk more about it, Steve Rabel, he is the radio play-by-play voice of the Seattle Seahawks. Had him on the show many times. Always enjoy seeing you at Super Bowl as well. Steve, how you been, buddy?
Well, I'm fine. How are you guys? You getting cold back there yet?
It is. Today I woke up to 16 degrees.
Holy catfish. Well, it's drizzly and gray here, but we may avoid some rain tomorrow night. It might actually be okay and probably about 48 to 50 degrees. So,
well, that's so balmy for this Packers team.
Yeah,
it's balmy. They'll take that as long as there isn't any wetness in the forecast. So tell me a little bit about the Seattle team. I thought early on this season didn't look great, and then they started playing some pretty good football in a hard-fought game and a hard-fought loss this past weekend in the Coliseum. So tell me about this team.
Well, it's a team that's growing together. It's a team that's young in a lot of spots. It's a team that still has a franchise quarterback, so you can do a lot of things when you got that guy back there pulling the trigger, and that's always a plus. I think we're pleasantly surprised by some of the young guys who have stepped up, being asked to do that. At the beginning of the season, we thought we'd have a much more veteran secondary, and now if Bradley McDougal doesn't play, I think he's going to at strong safety. But if he doesn't, you got a rookie and a couple of second-year guys, three second-year guys in the secondary, so that suddenly you become very young. But they're all talented. They're coachable. This is a really great group of guys, and I think maybe the most important thing about all of it, Bill, is the fact that Pete Carroll, at 66 years young already, the oldest coach in the NFL, but coaches like he's one of the youngest, and this has really invigorated him, having these young guys around, because it becomes that kind of college teaching atmosphere that he enjoyed so much at USC and was so successful.
I look at net points. I look at positives, negatives, all that kind of stuff. Obviously, the Rams, cream of the crop, they are positive 104 on the season. But there's not many teams that are in the positive. The Seahawks are. They've climbed back out of the negative into the positive in the points differential. Even though the record stands at 4-5, they're plus 27 on the season. But they're 1-2 at home. What has it been about the bugaboo about playing at home? They haven't played there a whole lot, only three games so far. But what's been the bugaboo at home? It's been their haven.
Yeah, it really has. And we lost a couple last year, too, at the end of the season at home. So it hasn't been the kind of overwhelming home field advantage that we've had in the past. And not quite sure why. Playing some good teams. Listen, we lost to a pretty darn good Chargers team. A lot of people didn't want to hear that Philip Rivers and those guys had so much talent on that ball club. They just said, AFC team are going to come in here and the Seahawks will beat them. Well, no, the Seahawks knew it was going to be a tough game. And we made a couple of mistakes coming down the stretch and end up losing that one. Then, you know, the Rams earlier in the season lost by two, scored 31 points against the Rams, and you think, that should be enough. Well, it wasn't, and we lost by two in that one. So it hasn't been the best of circumstances, but they've been in every game. Losing by eight to the Chargers was the most this team has lost to anybody in a long, long time. And started out the season not so great on the road. Now we've got, five of our last seven at home. That's a good thing to have, but you got to start by stacking up some wins, and it has to start tomorrow night.
I look at this defense. They're 12th overall in total yards given up. Not great, not bad, but they're ninth at best in points. It seems like they're going to let you go between the 20s, but you're going to kick a lot of field goals. You're not going to get into the end zone quite often. Has the defense just gotten better and started, as you said, grow together?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's been, and they have given up some yards between the 20s. That number of points allowed would be a lot lower had we not given up, what, 30, 37 this last weekend, because I think the team was averaging, going into that Rams game, giving up just a little over 19 points a game. That's really good when you consider. What it means is the team toughens up as they get closer to their own goal line. Teams have found some ways, and I dare say that Aaron Rodgers has seen this on film, and they're gonna figure out ways to do the very same thing. They have found a way to take advantage of the young guys in the secondary getting behind some of the older guys at linebacker, and in those deep crossing route areas, that's really killed us, and we haven't found a way to answer that yet. And if that's the case this week, it's going to be a long game against Rodgers. So that's one of the reasons why teams have been able to stack up some yards. But as you start to get closer to the goal line, things compress, and we get a little bit better in our coverage. We've got some really good man-to-man cover guys, so I think that's a plus for us as well.
I know Russell Wilson has some good targets to throw to, but is this one of the best seasons he's had ever?
Well, it's been, you know, he's had his ups and downs. I mean, he's played really well at times, and he's kept us in games. And this last weekend in Los Angeles, our running game is going crazy, and we can't seem to get any passing game going. We couldn't get guys open. They were rushing 4 and dropping 7 deep into zones where we couldn't find anybody open. And so he was forced to run a lot, and he picked up almost 100 yards rushing, which he hadn't done all season long. So the things that he can do for you are amazing. He is playing very well. He had a stretch here earlier in the season where he was like spot on, and he could not miss. He had a perfect 158.3 rating against the Lions. So on the road in Detroit, a perfect quarterback rating, and that's never happened in the history of our franchise before for the entire game. So he has had those great games, and yet he'll step up and throw a pick six when you least can afford to have it. It's happened a couple of times this year. Just did not see the cornerback buzz out underneath a deep throw to the outside, and they're off to the races. Passes that he wishes he could have back, but you know you're going to have that every so often. The key to a great quarterback, and you know this from watching Aaron for so long, how do you come back after those plays? And Russell always seems to find a way to come back.
Yeah, I'm kind of going over the game stats, and I'm looking at his season so far, and you know, you take a game against the Chargers. They were able to stymie him. And then against what's supposed to be a better defense than the Rams, he really kind of lit them up. There hasn't been a rhyme or reason to it. It just seems like when he gets into the pocket and gets comfortable, you allow him on that much like Aaron when he was at his best, the little bit of amount of time to improv, he becomes extremely deadly, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. And that's the key as far as defenses against us. They cannot allow Russell to get comfortable back there. They are doing a great job, and we've had pretty good protection. You know, we gave up a lot of sacks early in the season. Then they've dropped off considerably, mostly because we've been able to run the ball so much better. But the key for Russell is to be able to, as teams are rubbing those defensive ends upfield, defensive ends now understand you cannot allow Russell Wilson to get outside of you. And if you do, he is going to then circle out and throw on the run, and he's just absolutely deadly that way. So you keep him inside the pocket, and you slowly push from the front. If you can cover up his guys long enough, his receivers, or you can keep them from getting into those open areas, the zones downfield, and push the center and the guards back into his lap, he can't see as well as he would like to. Now he's really got to find a way to get out of the pocket, and that's been the way teams have defended against him, and I fully expect to see it again this weekend. Now, you guys got some people hurt. That's going to be a plus for us when you're defensively on the field.
I tell you one thing, one guy that they need to account for, and that's Frank Clark coming off of the end. He has had a tremendous season, 8 sacks so far, 3 forced fumbles. He's got a pick. He's only got 17 tackles, but he's been kind of a one-man wrecking crew, and when he's not making a tackle, he has been nothing but pressure and basically pushing plays in the opposite direction, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been terrific, and he is such a magnetic personality. I mean, he's such a great guy. He's always up-tempo. He came running by. I was down on the sidelines in L.A. I do an interview with the general manager on the sidelines every week before the game, and the guys are coming out and going through some light warm-ups at the time, and he comes running by and bumps me and says, "Rabel, I'm going to give you something to talk about this week," and he does again, and he enjoys that. we need to have more of that. We need to have a more consistent pass rush. That's been probably the thing that has disappointed Pete the most, that we're really only getting pressure from Frank, and he can't come every single play. I mean, you gotta spell him once in a while. So we need some more help in that way. But Frank has been terrific. Again, it's also a function of what's going on behind him. If the Seahawks can get a little bit better pass rush up front, it will make that young secondary look better, force a quarterback to make some throws that maybe he doesn't want to make.
Talking with Steve Vrabel, the play-by-play voice of the Seattle Seahawks, coming up tomorrow night. Packers on the road out there in Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Desperation game for both of these teams. They lose this game, chances are both teams are looking way on the outside in when it comes to the playoffs. Is that sense of desperation right now kind of running through the city?
Yeah, I don't know about desperation, but I think there's real concern. You know, we kind of kept it the opportunity to make the playoffs all the way to the end of the season last year. I think second to the last game, maybe even the last game is where we figured out we weren't going to be able to make it to the playoffs. A win by somebody earlier in the day meant that we weren't going to get there. That's unusual for this team. It's like Green Bay. We're used to getting there, and when you don't, it kind of leaves a sour taste in everybody's mouth. They come back, the Seahawks do, they regroup. They've not used the word rebuild, but reset, retool, just about anything you can think of other than rebuild the team. But we're kind of in this area right now where you have to win these games. You cannot afford to fall any further behind. There's some NFC teams. Obviously, the Rams are playing out of their minds, but the Saints are coming on. The Eagles have been up and down a little bit, but they're Super Bowl champs, and they can still find a way. The Saints, unbelievable the way they're playing. So you don't have a lot of chances here. You got to win these games, get to the playoffs, figure out a way, get healthy in some positions, and figure out how to make those plays, and more importantly, maybe figure out how to stop teams.
Steve, it's always great to chat with you, my friend. I certainly appreciate it, and thanks for joining us on the last second notice for a couple minutes, okay?
Our pleasure, Bill. Thank you.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Steve Vrabel, he is the radio play-by-play voice of the Seattle Seahawks, and if you're listening on their app, you're going to hear him coming up tomorrow night with the counterpart, Wayne Larrivee and Larry McCarron, doing their things, as both of those teams are going to be squaring off out there at CenturyLink coming up tomorrow night on their radio networks. And he joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. Always great to see Steve. Every now and then we'll get a chance to see him kind of walking Radio Row and doing some stuff at Super Bowl as well. Speaking of Super Bowl, going to be heading to Atlanta again this year. We are brought to you by our great friends over at Robert Hack Diamonds. Brett and the whole staff there, they do such a great job. They're on Port Washington, Green Tree Road, just north of Milwaukee. They're in Greendale over there off of Layton Avenue and 76th Street. And they do such a great work, and that's where I went for Sherry's engagement ring and wedding ring, and it is the ooh and ah factor that they bring to the table that, and for a terrific price, by the way, I might add, that you can't compare to any other place. Brett and his staff do a great, great job. Also, our good buddy Joe Martino and the whole staff at Point Brewing. Point Brewing, they do a great job in Stevens Point. And I've said it time and again, just like Chuck Freeman was in here a little bit earlier, you go down to San Giorgio or down to Calderon Club, they do a lot of stuff. They have some dishes down there with my name on it, and that's fantastic. I love the tribute. But they pair it up with Cider Boys, and whether it's the strawberry or the first press or whatever it happens to be, they do a really great pairing down there, and it's a good beer. It just is. It's a really good cider, I should say. And that's Point Brewing and our good friends there. Also, our friends at the Milwaukee Admirals. I was just mentioning a little while ago, the Admirals have some stuff coming up on February 8th. Put it on your calendar. After the game, Styx is coming to town. I know a lot of you 80s rockers out there are going to be enjoying it, going to catch some hockey and then the concert after the fact. I will be there as well. And who knows, maybe we'll put something together. Maybe take you backstage or something like that. We'll try to work something out. But nevertheless, Wojo and the whole staff and John Greenberg and everybody do a great job with all the promotions for the Milwaukee Admirals. And also, we can't forget about Auto Paint and Supply. Go to goautopaint.com. That's goautopaint.com. If you've got a fleet service, if you've got just a personal car, a marine service, whether it's doing pontoons or whether it's doing regular fiberglass boats or painting or fixing, whatever it happens to be, go to goautopaint.com. That's goautopaint.com. Locations all throughout the state of Wisconsin. Auto Paint and Supply. And make sure you tell them we sent you. More of the Bill Michaels Show. Some buy or sell coming up next.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael Show, we are on the air. We are always glad you're on board. Thanks so much hanging out with us. We certainly appreciate it. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. If you want to give us a shout, please feel free to do so. 855-830-8648. Talk some college football. Pete Futek, he is joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline from collegefootballnews.com. That's collegefootballnews.com. Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. How you been?
We're doing well. I can't complain whatsoever. So, you know, we're sitting here at this point in time thinking, well, the Badger season has kind of fallen by the wayside. Some powers have shifted over in the Big Ten East. First of all, give me your reaction to what's gone on, not only with the Badgers, but also in the fact that Michigan is now in the top four. They're in the college football playoffs, and things are just a little bit different than what we thought about at the beginning of the season.
Couldn't be more disappointed in the Badgers, and it's easy to kind of point to the fact that you're not going to have a backup quarterback who can throw, or at least that you don't trust who can throw. I mean, the BYU game was weird. That was just a bad aberration, and Michigan's Michigan, so it's great. But to not be able to do anything against Northwestern in that game, and then to be as bad as they were against Penn State, and this is a team that, you know, you guys know this, that, you know, the defense, okay, so it lost a bunch in the secondary. The offensive line came into the season as one of the best in the country. Jonathan Taylor is probably going to win the Doak Walker this year. The receiving core is certainly better than it was last year. And it just didn't work. It never quite clicked this season. And it's disappointing because the West is bad. And this was the year to really nab it again, because who knows what Nebraska is going to be going forward with this offense, and who knows what's going to happen in the future for the Badgers. And Michigan being at the four, yeah, I mean, this was kind of the call that the defense was going to be amazing again. It was amazing last year. All this team needed was something of an offense. It got it, and now you can kind of see what this team has become with a complete team.
So, moving forward, if you're the Badgers, now, I agree with you, first of all, about the quarterback situation. I've never been a big fan of Hornibrook. I thought what we saw last year was what the real Hornibrook was, and it turned out to be exactly what we thought it was. In that
Dude
game
looks
against
like Aaron Rodgers now compared to Jack Cohn, though. Holy cow.
Well, exactly. Exactly. My point exactly is the fact that you're just not getting what you thought you were going to get. That being said, you know, they played a tougher schedule, yeah, but how far away is this team from really getting back to where we can be excited about this team and talking about them top 10, that type of situation? Because I thought also defensively losing seven starters, I knew that was going to hurt them. I didn't realize it would hurt them this bad, even though the defense has been pretty good.
Yeah, the loss on the defensive side really is the killer. And having gone to Wisconsin and being a fan as well as doing what I do, I've always kind of waited for that moment where the program needed kind of the Nebraska mid-90s pivot. Maybe not by going to the element that they went to kind of sell its soul, but at some point you kind of have to hit a point in your program where you say, okay, what's missing? Wisconsin's going to always be consistently very, very good. It's going bowling again. It's a good season. But you've seen what coming close looks like. What do you need to do to get over the top? They've never been able to recruit at the highest of levels. And it seems like, okay, you've got your system, which is amazing. There's just some little element that seems to be missing that takes them over the top to be as good or good enough to be in the true college football playoff argument. So something's a little bit missing here. So we'll see going forward, but at the same time, this is still a great program, consistent. It's been unbelievably good. I don't think you really changed too much other than maybe kind of change your focus a little bit to make sure you got those playmakers in the secondary.
Then you move on. Alabama, clearly the number one team in the country, unbelievably dominant in every facet. You know, some people say it's the talent. Some people say it's the coaching, a combination thereof. This year, head and shoulders above everybody else. I don't know how much Clemson's going to play into this. I know one thing. I know they're 10-0. I just don't have a big belief in Notre Dame being right there by the time it's all said and done. I don't know why. I just don't.
I don't either. And you know what? It's the unprofessional side of me that keeps picking against them because I know what's happening at the end of this picture where they get in the college football playoff and they get whacked by 55 by Alabama or 30 by Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
So they could lose to Syracuse. They could lose to USC. You know, they're good, but they, you know, when you watch them play against Vanderbilt and Ball State and they struggle so much and just, you know, yes, they beat Michigan, and that's great and all. But, so the rest of the schedule just hasn't been that amazing. But give them credit, you know, they're undefeated against a pretty good slate. You know, so, yeah, I'd like to see them lose at some point. And Alabama, yeah, they have been incredible. I mean, they were incredible 2 years ago, and now you've essentially swapped out Jalen Hurts for, you know, the college version of Drew Brees and Tagovailoa. So this team has been absolutely amazing. I do think Georgia is talented enough to get them on the right day. I do think Clemson is talented enough to get them. And Ohio State, if it ever screwed its head on right, has the talent to at least hang with them. I don't think it's happening this year. So on the one hand, it's kind of amazing to watch what Alabama is doing just from a performance art thing. And on the other hand, yeah, it'd be kind of fun to see them in a real tight battle. I think we might get that in a couple of weeks in the SEC championship.
You know, you go back to Ohio State, they barely hang on and beat Nebraska. They fell to Purdue, so in a matter of a couple of weeks, they gave up 80 points, which was like crazy for this team that then turns around and goes to Michigan State, and they only give up 6. Now, I know they have Maryland and then obviously the big matchup with Michigan coming up, which is really for the East, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. So you've got when you've got coming up with Michigan, Ohio State is obviously for the it's for probably for the spot in the college football playoff, assuming that other stuff happens. Now the chaos theory thing that could happen here is if Georgia does beat Alabama in the college football playoff, then even though it lost to LSU by 20 and has that on the resume, it's going to get into the college football playoff at 12-1 as the SEC champion. Alabama's going to get in. Let's say Clemson wins out and Notre Dame wins out. You could have that year where Michigan finally has its year, goes 12-1, and doesn't get into the CFP, which would make everyone crazy. So, that would be kind of insane to have that happen.
Go back to we were talking about the standings here with the West. How much closer have teams gotten to Wisconsin in the sense that Iowa has gotten better? We keep waiting for Nebraska to turn things around, and it just seems like they just don't. It seems like they're kind of standing in their own way, and they keep tripping on themselves. And I know everybody at Nebraska wants to see that program turn it around. For this Big Ten to be viable, you need those teams in the West to get good, don't you?
Yeah, and remember the Big 12, back when it was a Big 12 and it was two divisions, when it first started out, it was like, oh my gosh, Kansas State and Colorado are in the same division. That's and Nebraska. Look out. That Big 12 North is a killer. And then all of a sudden the power shifted to the South where it became Oklahoma and Texas again. It's never going to happen where you're going to lose the power from the East with Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State, and Michigan in that division. But to your point, Nebraska is going to get good fast. I mean, you can see it with this offense. They're a recruiting class or two away from being really strong. They just need the defense to step up. Purdue's never going to be quite there. It's just never going to recruit at that level. Minnesota, okay, but maybe not quite. Iowa's Iowa. It's going to be good every year. And Northwestern's Northwestern. Some years it's going to have it. This year everything broke the right way. But it's still the division that's there for the taking every single year as long as Wisconsin can maintain it's high level where, okay, this was a weird year. It just didn't go right. You had the bad game against Northwestern. But most years, this is a year that a Badger team will take down. So going forward, you just don't assume that it's not going to be that much harder for Wisconsin going forward. It's just depending on, okay, now what can you do to actually take that next step and really win the Big Ten title again?
Let me ask you, Alabama's facing the Citadel this weekend. Why?
Yeah, every year it's the same argument. All the SEC teams get dogged for playing these, you know, mediocre games against FCS teams. Two things to remember. One, they don't play these games at the beginning of the year. So if you had this game in week one or two, no one would say anything about it. Instead, you had Alabama open the season with Louisville. You had Auburn opening the season with Washington. And right on down the SEC line where you had, you know, great game after great game that these SEC teams play. The other thing, too, to remember is they're not dogging it when it comes to the non-conference schedule. They all have their, almost all of them have their nasty ACC games coming up, whether it's South Carolina playing Clemson, Georgia playing Georgia Tech, Florida playing Florida State. So it's just the timing that these games come now that it looks so awful. But again, if Alabama played this game week two, no one would say anything about it.
Good stuff as always, my friend. We will chat again soon, okay?
Absolutely. Have a good one, sir.
You too, Pete. Talk to you soon. There you go. Pete Futek. He is with the collegefootballnews.com. That's collegefootballnews.com website. Joining us a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call him, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. We'll get him back on in a few weeks once his season culminates and you get into, say, a rivalry weekend and all that kind of stuff, and then we'll start to talk some Heisman Trophy and see if, indeed, that some of the front runners we picked at the beginning of the season are just that, and they're still there, because I know that Jonathan Taylor was going to be a guy that a lot of people were talking about, and that's kind of fallen by the wayside with some of the losses that Wisconsin has sustained, but he's still getting a lot of national press. It just, you know, not necessarily right now in the way that you want, because the team just isn't faring as well as many thought at the beginning of the season. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Let's do this. Let's go ahead. We got some buy or sell when we come back. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Hopefully you're having a good day today. We certainly appreciate it. As always, thanks for hanging out with us. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. Don't forget at Cousin Subs right now. It's the gift-giving time of year, and the one thing that fits everybody, that is a Cousin Subs gift card. If you want to go in and get one, $25, that will also get you personally a free 7.5-inch sub. That's not a bad way to go. That's the gift that keeps on giving right there. That is compliments of our friends over at Cousin Subs. Go to CousinSubs.com, download the app, or just stop into the store. Grab it for yourself. If you're going to be stuffing stockings, that's a great way to do it. That is Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Time now for some buy or sell. Let's do this.
In the world of sports, a lot of people say a lot of things. But does it pass the big unit test? Let's play Buy or Sell. Brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 12 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the Bill Michaels Show.
Time now for Buy or Sell. Jeff Orlovsky sitting across from me as opposed to Radio Joe, who is off the next 3 days. He's doing the morning show for Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, our flagship station out of Milwaukee. Jeff, what do you got today?
All right. Aaron Jones will rush for more than 100 yards tomorrow night.
I'm going to sell on that. I think that, first of all, they face the worst rushing defense in the league against the Miami Dolphins. I think he gets around 80. 85, maybe 90. I don't know if he gets over 100. I would probably bet against that. However, I do think that he gets 17 touches, which is a lot for Mike McCarthy. 17 touches in this ball game. And if that happens, that means that they have a lead. If he ends up with, say, 12 or less, they don't have a lead and they're throwing the ball all over the place to try to come back. But I'm going to say 17 touches, 85 yards, 90 yards, somewhere in there. And the Packers get a win. But he's got to get I don't think he's going to get 100. It's a much better defense. I haven't checked really their numbers against the run, to be honest with you. But it's a much better defense than I think what people are giving it credit for. It's not the Legion of Boom anymore. That's for darn sure. But it's still a good defense. So I'm going to say he ends up with about 85 yards. I'm going to say he ends up with, I'm going to say he ends up with maybe, 17 touches. I'll be good with that. Be good with that. It, by the way, when you talk about one of the better defenses against the run, I'm just kind of going through this here real quick. The Seahawks against the run, they rank 18th. So while they're good, they're not great. The Dolphins, by the way, the 32nd ranked run defense in the entire National Football League. So you know that wasn't going to happen. And the Packers against the run ranked 22nd, giving up 120.9 yards per game. Seattle 18th at 118 yards per game. So I'm going to say no, about 85, 90 yards, 17 carries. Packers get a win. There you have
Buy
it.
Buy or sell.
All right. Aaron Rodgers will look like the Aaron Rodgers of old against this average Seahawk defense.
My gut instinct is to say yes. Now, the Aaron Rodgers of old, though, would be, dropping 350 yards on him and probably three touchdowns. This is a Seahawks defense when you talk about the passing game now. They rank 7th. Believe it or not, the Packers rank 5th overall in passing defense, giving up 225 yards per game. Seattle is 7th, giving up 228 yards per game. They have only given up on the season two plays of 40 yards or more. Two plays of 40 yards or more. That's it. And when it comes to plays over 20 yards, they rank, I'm thinking they're about middle of the pay. Oh, they're 11th. They're 11th best. Only giving up 29 plays of 20 yards or more this season. And in addition, through the air, when you talk about giving up touchdowns, this defense has been extremely good in the sense that they're ninth ranked. As a matter of fact, they're tied with the Green Bay Packers for passing touchdowns this season. So in the grandest of schemes, they've only given up 14, so have the Packers, through the air. So I'm not going to say he looks like the old Aaron Rodgers, but if they're going to get it done, they got to get it done with a balance, and they got to get it done moving the football down the field and keeping the football away from Russell Wilson. Now, the other thing I will say about this defense is that the Seattle Seahawks, they are 7th best in football when it comes to taking away through the air. 7th best so far this season. And they that's how they get it done. They get it done with turnovers. They're plus 8 in the turnover department. They're 7th ranked with 10 picks so far this season. So if Aaron Rodgers is going to get it done, look like the Aaron Rodgers of old, they're going to need him because this is a defense that is pretty much opportunistic as well.
Buy or sell.
The 10-3 Milwaukee Bucks will have such a lead over the 7-5 Memphis Grizzlies that Giannis won't play the fourth quarter tonight.
As a matter of fact, after I get off the air at Libby Montana's, I'm going in the fourth quarter tonight for the Milwaukee Bucks. So
nice.
I'm going to be wearing the T-shirt, Let It Fly. I'm going to be wearing the number 22. Well, I can't because that's Middleton's number, isn't it? Isn't that the old Michael Redd number? I think that's Middleton's number. I can't wear 22. I don't know what I'll wear.
Well, 71. Now I'm betting the over if you're playing.
Yeah, I'd bet the over. So I should be playing tonight. So it should be that kind of game. They should get a win going away down at the Five Serve Forum. Should be a good night down there tonight, too.
Yeah, it should.
There you go.
All right.
Buy or sell.
After Craig Counsell got snubbed for Manager of the Year yesterday, Christian Yelich will bring home to Milwaukee the MVP hardware tomorrow.
He's got to. Right?
You would think.
He's got to. If he doesn't, I'll be somewhat shocked. I mean, I won't like fall out of my seat just because you got Avi Baez, who had a pretty good start to the season, had a good year. You're coming out of the big market of Chicago, but in the grand scheme of things, and you didn't see a lot of the Brewers until in the postseason on national TV. But you pretty much got to. The guy hit for the cycle twice, for God's sakes. How do you not give it to him? His power numbers are up. His RBIs were up. What he did was, when this team was down offensively, he carried them for a while. No, he's got to win it. I would be, if I had to say a shocked percentage, I'd be 75% shocked if he didn't win it. I would be just out of my mind coming in here on Friday. There you go.
Buy or sell.
All right, last one. Jacob DeGrom is seen as the favorite to win the NL Cy Young today, despite only having a 10-9 record this season. Would he be more deserving over Max Scherzer and an Aaron Nola?
Yes, he would. When you're talking about a 170 ERA, yes. As a starter, come on. As a starter, that's unheard of. Max Scherzer was, what, 253, I think, is what it ended up. So, yes, I would say that he is in my – they kind of negated wins and losses back when Zach Greinke won it. Zach Greinke had a lot of wins, but he didn't have as many wins as some of the other guys against him. But you don't look at wins and losses anymore as stringent as you used to. I mean, if you got a 21- or 22-game winner, you say, yeah, look at what he did. But they don't look at wins and losses the same anymore. They look at ERA and WHIP and strikeouts over base on balls. They look at power numbers against you, home runs, ratio, strikeout to home run, strikeout to walk, all that kind of stuff. So, no, I think DeGrom's going to win it.
All right.
I'll go with that. There you have it.
That's it.
That is buy or sell. That is how we do it. And we will close things out. Coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show is on the air. We are glad to have you. A lot of emails to get to. A lot of people chiming in today. Certainly, thanks a lot to everybody that participated in the program. Going to be joining tonight, Mike Clemens. Going to be up at Libby Montana's Dodges Bay Road in Mequon. He'll be there. I'll be there. John Dodd's going to be there. Looking forward to it. Got some emails. Charlie says, "Do you think that the Green Bay Packers can perform better if Aaron Rodgers is not at tip-top condition? I think something with his shoulder just isn't right as of yet. Do you think they can still win? Yeah, I think they can win. I think it just has to be a balance. I think you have to give him the openings. I think it has to continue to grow with the trust with him and his wide receivers. And yeah, absolutely, I believe it so." This one's from Ben, who said, was cracking up earlier about the story regarding the toilet. Thought it was hilarious. Hopefully your second house sells. Yeah, I was telling you about that a little bit earlier. Sherry's house, we're hoping that sells. And I think there's an offer on it, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. That way we can get rid of the second mortgage. Because I pay ours. Right now, and she's paying her old house. So between us, it's about $6,000. So it's she's paying a hefty amount down there.
Ouch.
I don't pay everything; she pays that. We're kind of that modern day couple that splits everything.
Yeah.
So
the way it should be.
Yes. So I think before I said I paid it, but I don't. She's paying. She's got a good job. I mean, she makes some good coin too. So works harder than I do. That's for damn sure. She'll go. She starts work now. She works from home, but she'll start work at like 5 a.m. And at 1 a.m, she's still working.
Yeah,
me,
no thanks.
I'm off sawing Z's, man. I'm just like, even with my crazy schedule. Now, the benefit is that I can kind of wear what I want at times, you know, but you still got to go out. You know, you got to do things. She can just roll out of bed and throw a robe on, and she's good to go. That's the benefit of her job. But then again, she's got to put up with the dogs at home. Always pawing her and mooing at her and everything, wanting to go out. And then they get bored, and they all want to be petted at the same time. And you get, see, I schedule stuff for the house. And she always says, what would you do if I wasn't at home? When I used to live alone, I just give people the code to my house. Here's the code. Go work. Do what you got to do. Text me. Let me know what's going on. I'm good to go. You know. And then when I'd get home, I'd change the code. Well, now they come over, and it's hard because you got to tell people while she's there, you can't bug her. You know. So you got to go do your thing. This is what I need you to do. Go do your thing. So you can't bug her. But the natural tendency is, hey, we're getting ready to leave. You know, it's not. It's kind of like deemed rude just to walk out. You know. So then they start talking, and she's got to be cordial. And the whole time, I'm sure she's looking at her watch going, I got to get back to work. I can't get behind, you know. So anyway, but yeah, so we got that going on. So thank you very much. If you want to buy the house, let me know. Hopefully we sell the thing really quick. 855-830-8648 if you want to chime in. We got a couple of minutes before we get out of here. Hey, again, reminding you, coming up tonight, it's the Bill Michaels Huddle brought to you by Bud Light. We're going to be on the road. We're going to be at Libby Montana's on Dodges Bay Road in Mequon. Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio there tonight. John Dodd's going to be there. It's a special Wednesday night edition because tomorrow night, Packers game. Don't forget, after the Packers game, I'm many of these same stations. It's the Green and Gold Postgame Show. Yours truly, Gary Ellerson, all going to be back in studio tomorrow night as we take all your phone calls and reactions and everything regarding the Packers and the Seahawks. So it should be an interesting one coming up tomorrow night. And the Packers need to get a win. I'm feeling confident about it. I just am. I felt confident about the Rams game. They almost pulled that off had it not been for the fumble late in the ballgame. And then obviously what happened in they went toe-to-toe with the New England Patriots and for three quarters. And then finally that thing just kind of got away from them. And then again, another turnover late, and that ended up costing them. They play mistake-free football. They're gonna win that game. They're going to win the game coming up tomorrow night. I'm feeling good about it. Time for us to get out of here. We'll be back at it again tomorrow. But make sure you show up tonight and take a listen or be a face in the crowd out at Libby Montana's on Donjus Bay Road in Mequon, all brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Time for us to go. Have a going. See you.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.